Okay, great. Okay, thank you everybody for joining. So tonight's topic is titled, the Hebrew title is Isser Hashmoas Kol, which literally means the prohibition of making noise. So it's really referring to machines or mechanisms that make noise. And we're going to learn the topic, and it has to do with modern appliances as well. So we're going to start the topic from the very beginning, from the times of the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara starts with a Braisa. The Braisa says a few cryptic halachas one after the other, and it doesn't give any reason for the halachas, any reasoning behind the halacha. And we're going to see that based on the different interpretations in the Braisa by the Gemara itself, that determines what the reason behind this halacha is and whether or not the halacha is relevant to us today. So again, this Gemara starts on Shabbos, Mesechet Shabbos, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, it's a Braisa. Poiskin Mayim Legina Erev Shabbos in Chashecha. So one is allowed to open their water irrigation, their irrigation canal, into their garden on Friday, in Chashecha, before nightfall. Literally, that means with nightfall, but the Poiskim say, of course, it means a little bit before nightfall, because you can't do this on Shabbos. And the water could be flowing through the Gina, through the garden, irrigating the field all day long. So you're allowed to start the watering process and allow it to go all day long through Shabbos. So this might be analogous today to turning on your sprinkler. If you turn your sprinkler on before Shabbos, so it would seem in the Braisa here that you'd be allowed to, because it'll water your field on Shabbos as long as you turned it on, as long as you release the water from before Shabbos. That's the first halacha. The second halacha, Manichin Mugmar Tachas HaKelim Erev Shabbos U'mizgarmim V'holchin Kol HaYoyim Kulay. One is permitted to put mugmar. Mugmar is a spice. So the person has various spices. He puts it on a flame, and it creates a smoke, like an incense. And he puts it under his kalim. Kalim in this context means his clothing. So he puts garments. He's smoking his garments from before Shabbos. So naturally, this would be an Isser Doraisa to do on Shabbos. You're kindling and you're burning the incense. But one is permitted to put it on the fire before Shabbos. And his clothing could be flavored, should be scented all Shabbos long. So the smell, the beautiful smell of the spices, you're burning the spices and the smoke is going and entering the clothing. So you're allowed to have this process running on Shabbos as long as you started it before Shabbos. The next example, Manichin Gafres Tachas HaKelim Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha U'misgafrim V'holchin Kol HaShabbos Kula. A similar halacha. You're allowed to take gafres. Gafres is sulfur, some type of chemical element, and you're allowed to burn the sulfur under kalim. So now in this context, kalim means silver vessels. So you know how on your silver vessels, on your becher or on your leichter, there might be engravings. And the engravings, in order to highlight the engravings, so it's dark around the engravings. So Rashi explains that they used to burn sulfur, and the smoke of the sulfur would smoke up the silver items, and it would illuminate, it would highlight the engravings on the kalim. So this process, again, could be done over Shabbos. This could be done in your shop over Shabbos, as long as you flamed up the gafris, the sulfur, from before Shabbos. The next example, Manichin Kilur. Al gabi ho'ayin, asplonis al gabi maka erev Shabbos im chashecha. So again, the Gemara tells us that one is not permitted to take medicine or to apply ointments on Shabbos. This is a topic in and of itself. There are a lot of exceptions to this halacha. We're just reading the halacha here at face value. So one would be allowed to apply the ointment, the eye drops, or the ointment on his eye, or the asplonis, the medicinal bandage on the makkah, on the wound, on Friday, Erev Shabbos in Chashecha, before Shabbos, and it'll be allowed to be applied from before Shabbos, and he's going the whole Shabbos with the medicated bandage on, or with the ointment in his eyes, all Shabbos long. So again, it's the same concept. even though he would not be permitted in this circumstance to put the medicine on, to apply the ointment on Shabbos, but he was allowed to apply it before Shabbos, and it lasts, and it's doing its job, it's healing all Shabbos long. So we have over here a few examples. We have the example of turning on the irrigation canal, and he's watering his fields, his gardens, through Shabbos, as long as the sprinkler was turned on from before Shabbos. He's allowed to smoke his clothing in order to put the smell of the spices into the clothing all Shabbos long, as long as he fired it up before Shabbos. The same thing applies to the sulfur into the silver utensils in order to highlight the engravings all Shabbos long, the medicine. You can do virtually anything from before Shabbos. As long as you turn the item on or you started it up before Shabbos, it can go through Shabbos. However, there's an exception. And here's the question, why is this the exception? So imagine if a person has a water wheel that powers a millstone. So says the Braisa, one would not be permitted to put wheat, any grain, into this water-powered millstone from before Shabbos. He's only allowed to operate this millstone on Friday if the job will be completed before Shabbos. So everything else on the list, he's allowed to start it before Shabbos, and the process continues through Shabbos all day long. But when it comes to the grinding with this millstone, this water wheel, this water-powered millstone, the Braisa stipulates that you're not allowed to have it grinding on Shabbos. The process has to be completed before Shabbos. Now, there's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabba and Rav Yosef, what the reason is behind this Braisa. Why is there an exception? Why is the water wheel, why is the millstone an exception to the rule? My time, what's the reason? So says the Gemara, Omar Rabba. So Rabba says, and here are the magic words, Mipnei Shemashmas Ko. The reason why the water wheel, the millstone, the water-powered millstone, is not allowed to go on Shabbos is because it makes noise. It's mashmas kol, it makes noise. Those are the magic words. Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef argues with Rabba. That's not the interpretation of the Braisa. Belei mamar mishum shvisas kelim. Maybe the reason why you're not allowed to have the millstone, the water-powered millstone running on Shabbos, is because shvisas kelim, because your utensils, your machines, your appliances, are required to rest on Shabbos. That's what Rav Yosef says. So indeed, Ela Omar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef challenges Rabba, why are you saying the reason is because it's mashmas kol? Why are you saying the reason is because you can't operate machines that make noise? Why don't you say that the reason is because your utensils have to rest? Ela Omar Rav Yosef, so indeed Rav Yosef says, Mishum shvisas kelim. The reason you're not allowed to have the millstone running over Shabbos is because there's a halacha that you have to have your utensils rest on Shabbos. And says the Gemara, Hash de Omar Rav Oshia Omar Rav Asi. But now that Rav Oshia said, in the name of Rav Asi, Man Tana Shisas Kalim de Oiraisa, Be Shamasi, Beloy Beis Hill. Who is the author of this Braisa? And this is in support of Rav Yosef. Who would the author of the Braisa be if indeed the reason for the Braisa is because you have to allow your utensils to rest on Shabbos, just like a person has to rest. His utensils have to rest, his machines have to rest. Who would the author of the Braisa be? It would be Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is the one who holds that your utensils have to rest, Beloy Beis Hillel, and it would not be Beis Hillel. So essentially, we have a machlekes here between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba says that the reason why you're not allowed to operate the millstone on Shabbos is because of Hashmashmas Ko, because the machine, the millstone, makes noise. That's Rabba's pshat. Rabbi Yosef says that's not the reason. You're allowed to have machines operating on Shabbos. We don't mind if it makes noise. The reason for the Braisa is because of a new rule that's called Shvisas Kalim, whether they make noise or not. Your utensils, your pots and pans, your utensils, and certainly your machines are not allowed to perform labor on Shabbos in general. They have to rest, just like a human being has to rest. And Rav Oshia goes on to say that who is the author of Shvisas Kelim? It's Beis Shammai. It's Beis Shammai's opinion, and we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So according to Rabba, this Braisa is very relevant. There's a new halacha that your machines are not allowed to make noise. According to Rav Yosef, there's no such halacha. your machines are allowed to make noise. This braisa is actually a minority opinion that we don't subscribe to. It's Beis Shammai's opinion that all of your utensils, your clothing, your pots and pans, your machines, all have to abstain from malacha on Shabbos. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai, and we don't pass like that. So now, just on the side, I wanted to just talk about Beis Shammai's opinion. Imagine if we passed in like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that just like the Jew, the human being, has to rest on Shabbos, and he's not allowed to perform malacha on Shabbos, so too, our machines or our kalim would also not be allowed to perform work. They have to rest. This is a chiddush. This is a novel ruling of Beis Shammai. So the Gemara there, it's not really our topic, but the Gemara there goes on to say, if that's the case, then why are you allowed to smoke up your clothing? Why are you allowed to finish your silver? So the Gemara says there that it must be talking about a case where the coals that are incensing the clothing, or where the sulfur that's smoking up the silver items, it must be talking about where either it's resting on the ground, it's not in a utensil, or alternatively, you were mafkir, you declared your utensils ownerless. So now imagine if we passed them like Beis Shammai, it would be a completely different world. I just wanted to explore Beis Shammai's opinion for a moment. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. It would be a completely different world. Beis Shammai says that your utensils have to rest on Shabbos, and anything that belongs to a Jew is not allowed to perform halacha. So you wouldn't be allowed to have your crock pot burning on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to have your light bulbs burning on Shabbos. Any utensil, any item that you owned, you would not be allowed to perform malacha on Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to have your air conditioner running on Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to have your heater running on Shabbos. Any utensil that you have, you wouldn't be able to have your pot of soup sitting on the flame. You would not be allowed to have any, your oven wouldn't be allowed to be on. Any utensil that you own would not be allowed to work on Shabbos. And the Gemara, to the extent, the Gemara goes through Mishnah after Mishnah. How would Beis Shammai allow you to keep your chalent on the stove? How would Beis Shammai allow you to keep your soup in a pot that's burning in the oven? So the Gemara says, like I just mentioned, you would have to be mafkir, you would have to declare everything ownerless, or you'd have to sell it to a non-Jew. Imagine having to do like a Pesach sale, like a Mechiras Chametz, every single Erev Shabbos. You'd have to sell. You want to have your lights on for Shabbos? You want to have your air conditioning on for Shabbos? According to Beis Shammai, you would have to either be mafkirit, declare it ownerless, or you would have to sell it to a non-Jew in order to allow these things to perform malacha on Shabbos. Luckily, we don't pass them like Beis Shammai. I just wanted to point out that we do paskin to something similar to Beis Shammai. Our animals are not allowed to do malacha. So imagine if a person owns a dog, so he wouldn't be allowed to send his dog outside to fetch the newspaper Shabbos morning, even if there would be no Erev, because you're not allowed to have your animals perform malacha for you. We paskin like that. We say it in Kiddush, Ato ubincha ubitecha avdecha ramascha uvhemtecha. That you, your wife, your children, your servants, even your animals all have to rest on Shabbos. I'm allowed to let my cow graze in the field because the animal is doing malacha for itself, for its own enjoyment. But I'm not allowed to have my animal working on Shabbos. We paskin like that. And there's a whole shaila in the Gemara. It comes up in Daf Yomi very, very soon. And it came up before that if you ever lend your animal to a non-Jew, so it would be, this is actually halacha lemaisa, it's the Jew's responsibility to make sure that the non-Jew is not working with his animal over Shabbos. And there's a whole set of halachas about that, about selling your animals to non-Jews, lest you come to lend it to them and that they should work with it on Shabbos. So that's, Beis Shammai's opinion is that you're not allowed to have your utensils working on Shabbos, and we hold something similar that we can't have our animals working on Shabbos. So just to summarize, Beis Shammai is of the according to Rabbi Yosef, this braisa that allows you to do, as long as you started the malacha before, it's allowed to continue on Shabbos, with the exception of the millstone, this braisa is really an irrelevant braisa, because it's going according to Beis Shammai, who holds that your utensils are not allowed to work, and we hold that your utensils are allowed to work. So according to Rabbi Yosef, you would be allowed to operate your millstone on Shabbos, as long as it was set up before. According to Rabbah, on the other hand, which is the halacha we're going to be discussing tonight, that's the halacha of Mashmoz Kol. This halacha is very relevant, that you're not allowed to have machines operating that make noise. I'm sorry, does somebody want to make a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to ask...
Hi, Gidon, how are you?
Good. Bet Shammai, what's the makor they learned the Shvita de Keli Monshavi?
He learns it from a pasuk. He learns it from a pasuk. Yeah, Kol Asher Beisech. It's a Gemara there. He learns it. He has a special pasuk that even your Kalim have to read. It's a good thing we don't pasuk like Bet Shammai, otherwise it would be a whole different world. Now, what does Hashmoas Kol mean? Let's focus on Rabbah's interpretation of the Brisa, that this is not tied to Beis Shammai's unique opinion. This is an opinion that everybody can subscribe to. Mashmoas Kol. So Rashi says, Inyan Hashmoas Kol, Rashi's Lashon, I quote, B'pnei Shemashmas Es HaKol, because the utensil makes noise. In this case, the millstone makes noise. B'av Shemilsa B'Shabbos, it makes a tumult on Shabbos. It's publicly making noise in a loud way. V'ika Zilusa, and it's degrading, it detracts from the Shabbos. Ika Zilusa, Rashi says. It detracts from the Shabbos. Okay. That's how Rashi explains Rabbah's reason of Mashmoas Kol. Now, I quoted the Tosfos here. Tosfos says that it's actually a Machlokes Rishonim, how we paskin. So says Tosfos in item Gimel. Tosfos says in Dibra Maschil Vahashta, in item Gimel, says Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam Posek Rabbi Yosef. Rabbeinu Tam rules in accordance with Rabbi Yosef. The time of the Isser Trinas Rechaim, that the reason why one is not allowed to have his millstone running on Shabbos in this Brisa is Mipnei Shvisas Kalim Ba'aliva de Beis Shammai. This is a unique opinion of Beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to operate any of your machines. You're not allowed to have any of your machines operating on Shabbos. And that's Beis Shammai. Aval Didan, but says Rabbeinu Tam, according to us, we hold like Beis Hill, the Leslon Isra Shvisas Kalim, we do not hold of the prohibition of Shvisas Kalim. We hold that your utensils are allowed to work on Shabbos. It would be mutter. The halacha is that there's nothing wrong with operating a millstone on Shabbos because we hold that your machines are allowed to operate on Shabbos. But like Hashin and Klal, Le Isra Shmoas Kol. And says Rabbeinu Tam, we paskin like Rabbah, there's no such thing as the prohibition of Shmoas Kol. That was never the reason of the Brisa. The reason for the Brisa is simply like Beis Shammai, because you can't operate any of your utensils over Shabbos. We don't hold like that. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Avdo Rabbeinu Chananel, Tosfos continues, Rabbeinu Chananel Pasak, Rabbeinu Chananel rules the time in the Milsa who Mishum Hashmoas Kol. Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like Rabbah's reason, that indeed the reason for the Brisa is Hashmoas Kol, and therefore we would be obligated to follow this halacha. It's not a minority opinion of Beis Shammai. We would have to paskin like this reason as well. That's the Tosfos. Now the Beis Yosef, so Maran Bet Yosef, says the following. Kosvu ha-Tosfos v'ha-Rosh, so Tosfos and the Rosh both bring that Rabbeinu Tam was posak for Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbeinu Tam paskin like Rabbi Yosef, that this whole Brisa is not really relevant to us, because this Brisa holds like Beis Shammai, because of Shvisas Kalim. The Heim Dochu Devarav, but the Tosfos and the Rosh both reject the ruling of Rabbeinu Tam, the Helu, and they conclude the Halacha Kerabah, that the Halacha is like Rabbah, that the reason for this Brisa is because the machines make noise. The Chain Pasak Rabbeinu Chananel, and that's the ruling of Rabbeinu Chananel. The Chain Das, the Smag, that's the Halacha according to the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, and the Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanos, and the Sefer HaTshuma, the Kain Kosvo Bahagoyis, and Hagoyis Maimonis says in Perek Vav, and the Rif Hevi Shtei Asfaris, I'm quoting the Beis Yosef here, and the Rif brings both opinions. The Rif quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that this Brisa is irrelevant because this Brisa is just the minority opinion of Beis Shammai, and he also brings the reason of Rabbeinu Chananel, that this Brisa is because of Hashmoas Kol, and we paskin Hashmoas Kol. The Rif brings both reasons, Lo Yechriya, and he does not come to a decisive conclusion. However, the Rambam, Lo Hizkir Din Zeh Klal, the Rambam makes no mention of this halacha whatsoever. It's very curious. The Rambam does not mention that you're not allowed to operate the millstone on Shabbos. So if I would ask you, why does the Rambam not mention the prohibition of operating a millstone on Shabbos? So the Beis Yosef says, Umashma, so if the Rambam leaves it out, it must be that there's no prohibition. If there was a prohibition to operate a millstone, the Rambam would have mentioned it. The fact that the Rambam doesn't mention the prohibition, it must mean that it's permitted. That must mean that the Rambam paskins, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the reason for the Braisa was Beis Shammai, but according to Beis Hillel, according to our ruling, you're allowed to operate the water, the millstone. Umashma the Sfira like Rabbi Yosef the Shari. The reason why the Rambam leaves it out entirely is because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yosef, which was the same ruling as Rabbeinu Tam, that you're allowed to have the noise-making machine operating on Shabbos. And that's why the Rambam has no mention of it. The Mehechi Teisilon Lesser, because why should it be Usser? So the Beis Yosef is explaining, even if the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yosef, that you're allowed to operate the millstone, but at least say so, why doesn't the Rambam say that you're allowed to operate the millstone on Shabbos? The answer is, because by leaving it out, if I don't say that it's prohibited, that means that it's permitted. Because, mehechi tesi, why would you think that you're not allowed to operate the millstone, kiven de'ein adam muzer al shvisas kelav? Because everybody knows that we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Everybody knows that you're allowed to have your machines and your utensils performing labor for you on Shabbos, like the Rambam himself rules in the sixth perek. The reason the Rambam doesn't have to say that you're allowed to operate your millstone is the fishle hiskib talmud behedya to the Rabbi Yosef Shari, because the Gemara never says those words that you're allowed to operate a millstone. The Braisa says you're not allowed to operate a millstone. Rabbi Yosef says that that's just because we hold that price is Beis Shammai, but Rabbi Yosef never explicitly permitted it. It's just self-understood that it's permitted. And therefore the Rambam doesn't say it's permitted because it's self-understood. The Beis Yosef has a very interesting rule that the Rambam, Ein Dargo Lichtov Elamasha Huzker B'Talmud Behedya, the Rambam virtually never says something on his own. He usually quotes the Gemara based on his interpretation. The Rambam usually quotes the Gemara based on his own interpretation. But the Rambam will never go out of his way to explain something that wasn't mentioned in the Gemara. So the Beis Yosef is just giving us a very important insight how to read and how to understand the rulings of the Rambam. If the Rambam makes no mention of a millstone, so what is my take-home message supposed to be? Should I take home from the Rambam that you're not allowed to operate a millstone? Or should I take home from the Rambam that you are allowed to operate the millstone? So says the Beis Yosef, well, if you would not be allowed to, then the Rambam would have to rule that way in accordance with Rabba's really reason of Ashmuas Kol. Why does the Rambam, how is he justified to leave it out entirely? Because the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yosef, that the Braisa, that he basically relegates the Braisa to Beis Shammai's opinion, that you're not allowed to have your utensils operating for you, which everybody knows we don't rule according to Beis Shammai, and therefore the Rambam doesn't have to explicitly mention that you're allowed to. So says the Rif, and this is the conclusion of the Beis Yosef, I'm sorry, says the Beis Yosef, well, the inyan halacha, so when it comes to the halacha, and this is the final ruling of the Beis Yosef, kiven the harif harambam v'rabbeinu tam matirin, because the Rambam for sure, he doesn't say it's forbidden, that means it's permitted. And Rabbeinu Tam permits it explicitly because the whole Braisa was just Beis Shammai, but we hold that you're allowed to. And the Rif brings both opinions without deciding one over the other. So says the Beis Yosef that it's mutter. The Oid, furthermore, milsa de rabbanan hu. Worst case scenario, it's only a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore it's a milsa de rabbanan hochei naktinon. That's the minhag. The minhag is that it's permitted to operate noise-making machines, as long as you turned it on before Shabbos, you're allowed to have them running on Shabbos, because the whole Braisa that forbids it is only Beis Shammai, has nothing to do with us, and therefore you're allowed to have noise-making machines running on Shabbos. However, says the Beis Yosef, Ela Sheba Mokam Shinogu Isra Emahatir, if the minhag of that locale is not to operate noise-making machines from before Shabbos, then you shouldn't permit it. Allow them to follow their custom and respect their custom. But the letter of the law, the main halacha, says the Beis Yosef, is that you're allowed to have these machines running on Shabbos. That is the Beis Yosef's opinion, and that's how he passes in his Shulchan Aruch. Now, in item Hey, the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, who is basically the Rabban, he's our Rebbe of Kol Bnei Agoyla of the Ashkenaz, says the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, he's Machmir. Quote, V'li nire, and to me it appears, says the Ramah, who is the Poisik for the Ashkenazim, the Mistama, probably, says the Ramah, probably, Yesh Linhoig Isir Kedasa Toisvis, that probably the right thing to do is to consider it forbidden, the way Toisvis says, Shadachu Divri Rabbeinu Tam, because Toisvis clearly says that he rejects the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Toisvis says that the Braisa is relevant, and we paskin like Rabba, that the reason is because of Hashmoas Kol, which would apply to us. So says the Ramah, because Me'achra Sheskimu Imoen Kol Basroi Deli'il, because if you remember, we quoted a whole tzettel, a whole list of poiskim. We had the opinion of the smag, we had the opinion of the smak, the rut, the all paskin, the smag and the smak and the sefer atruma, hagoyis maimonis, they all paskin that the brisa is relevant, that there's a prohibition of Hashmoas Kol. So says the Ramah that the right thing to do is to say that it's asr. However, the Ramah says that B'makim shenagu heter, but if the minog is to be mekel and limchois biyadam, you don't have to object. So it's very interesting here because you have on the one hand the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and you have the Ramah on the other hand. They both acknowledge that it's a dispute among the poskim. The Beis Yosef says, I decide to rule according to the Rambam and the Rif and Rabbeinu Tam, therefore it's permitted unless the minig is to say that it's usher, but it's basically permitted unless the minig is to say it's forbidden. And the Ramah says the other side, that basically it's forbidden unless the minig is to be mekel, right? So at the end of the day, the Beis Yosef agrees that where the minig is to say that it's usher, then it's usher. He just is personally inclined to be mekel. And the Ramah agrees that when the minig is to be lenient, you can be lenient, you don't have to object, but he personally is inclined to say that it's usher. So basically, the Machlekes Beis Yosef and the Ramah is when there's no minig in that locale, what should the halacha be? Beis Yosef would say it's permitted, and the Ramah would say that it's forbidden. Now, I saw in the Sefer Yechaveh Das from Rav Avadya Yosef that he was nishal. He was asked. I skipped the line in the notes in Hey. So says the Ramah. The Ramah is mekel b'makom hefsid, right? The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch says that if there's going to be a loss of money, then you're allowed to rely on the opinion of the Mechaber that it's mutter, again, because the Ramah acknowledges that it's a machlekes. He acknowledges that it's only a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore we can be lenient and rely on the lenient opinion if there's a makom hefsid, if there's a loss of money. And that's exactly what the Yechaveh Das, what the Rav Avadya Yosef says in item Vav. So we quoted over here, the nishal oides mechoinas kvisa. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef was asked, am I allowed to turn on my washing machine before Shabbos or my dryer on before Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and have it running on Shabbos? If anybody would come into my house, they would hear the washing machine running, they would hear the dryer running. Am I allowed to have my machines operating from before Shabbos? So what do you think Rabbi Avadi Yosef responded? He responded exactly what you would expect him to say. Vikosav, so Rav Avadya Yosef said the following, the levnei svardim mutarin, for the svardim it's mutter, because Maran Bet Yosef paskins like the Rambam and like the Rif and like all and the Rabbeinu Tam that it's mutter. So if the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's mutter, so it would be mutter, like the Das Maran Bet Yosef in Shulchan Aruch. It's beautiful how Rav Avadya Yosef says it. But to our brethren in Ashkenaz, noigin kedas ramo lahachmir. So then the minig follows the Ramah that we're machmir, that it's aser. Ela im kein yesh tzerach b'davar, unless there's a need, unless there's a hefsid. And that's what the Ramah says, that if there's a hefsid, then even the Ashkenazim are allowed to rely on the opinions that the Shulchan Aruch ruled according to. And that was the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah. So let's say, for example, a person has some clothing that has a stain. It got a stain. It got something spilled on the clothing. And if the person would wait till after Shabbos in order to wash the clothing, it happened Friday afternoon. It happened 5 minutes before Shabbos. And if I would wait till after Shabbos, then the garment might be irreparably damaged. So therefore, according to Rav Avadya Yosef, that would be a good enough reason to rely on the Mechaber, even for the Bnei Ashkenazim. The Ramah himself says that although it's our minig is that it's usher because of Ashmoas Kol. Nevertheless, one would be allowed to be makel b'makom hefsek. So if the garment is risks to be lost, to be irreparably damaged, you would be allowed to operate the noise-making machine from before Shabbos and having it run through Shabbos. That's the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Sikkum, and that's the summary, the bottom line of the Echavadas of Rav Avadi Yosef. Yeah.
Rabbi Bill.
Yes.
Rabbi Bill. So why Rav Avadia not choshesh for Marit Ayin in the washing machine?
You mean Maris Ayin, right? Maris Ayin, you mean? Maris Ayin? So we're gonna talk about that. Right, we're gonna talk about that. That's exactly we're gonna talk. That is the let's wait off. Let's hold off. Let's continue a little bit more. Now, that's a good question, Reb Gidon. That's a very good question. We're gonna get to that in a second. So now, the Darkei Tshuva. It's moving the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Moshek should be is the Ramah, and also in the Ramah, there's a Sefer HaOgur. The Sefer HaOgur is a Rishon. So now it says like this. This is a quote from the Sefer HaOgur that's quoted in the Ramah, and it's quoted that should be Darkei Moshe, not Darkei Tshuva. So says the Sefer HaOgur the following. What we're going to do now is we're going to get into the Kishkas. What exactly is the reason behind the prohibition of the machine making noise? The Ramah paskins that you're allowed to have your machines running from before Shabbos. You're allowed to have the irrigation. You can have the sulfur burning and the incense burning. So why can't I have my millstone burning? Because it makes noise. So what? So what if it makes noise? So there's the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah. They bring from the Sefer HaOgur the following. Sefer HaOgur was an early Rishon. Says the Sefer HaOgur, Nishal Moiri Avi Moreinu Rav Landau Al Zug HaMekashkesh L'Shaos. So now I think that this is some kind of a grandfather clock. You have a zug, you have some kind of a clock that's mekashkesh. It rings on the hour. Asui al yedei mishkoilos, some kind of antique grandfather clock that it operates based on weights, the weights and the gears. It's a mechanical object that it's able to keep track of the hours. Al yedei mishkoilos, through weights and pulleys, it rings on the hour. Im mutr lahachinoi laharichoi, am I allowed to set it up and to put it on before Shabbos, kadei sheyelech v'yekashkesh kol haShabbos, in order that it should ring, it should chime every hour before Shabbos? This was a question posed to the Sefer HaOgur. Now the petitioner himself explains what he's asking. Ki shema yesh lidmois lenoisin chitim l'rechaim. Perhaps we should be medama this to the Gemara's example of putting the wheat in the millstone, that you're not allowed to have it running from before Shabbos. Now, agav, just by the on the side, you see from the premise of the question of the Ogur that the Ogur subscribes to the reason of the Tosfos and the Rosh, that we do paskin, that the reason why it's usher to run the millstone is because of Ashmas Kol. If the whole brisa was going like Beishamai, then the whole premise of the question wouldn't exist. You're allowed to have your utensils and your kalim operating on Shabbos. So we see from the question of the Ogur that the premise of the question shows that he's among the people that paskin like the Rush and like the Tosfos, that we paskin like Rabbah, that the reason is Ashmas Kol. So the question is, am I allowed to set up this grandfather clock? Can I set it from before Shabbos? Why should I not be allowed to? Because we should be medame it to the millstone that's running on Shabbos. So says the Ogur. Beheshiv, the Ogur answers, Nirali ikur time of the Avsha Milsa, the reason that there's a problem that it makes noise and that there's a tumult, that was the Lashon of Rashi, Avsha Milsa, it makes noise, K'moy Shapirshu Toisvit Shans and Sefer Truma and the Smak. So says the Ogur, the reason, the problem of the machine making noise is like the Tosfos Shants and the Sefer Truma and the Smag. These were also among the people that forbade it. The reason is like they say, Shepirshu al Avsha Milsa, what's the problem that it makes noise? So Rashi's expression was because it detracts from Shabbos. What exactly does that mean? What detracts from Shabbos? Sheyoimru, because they're going to say, Rechayim shel ploni, people are going to wonder, hey, why is that person's millstone operating on Shabbos. Because it makes noise, what does it mean that it's optional? So what does it mean that it causes a tumult and that it attracts attention? What does that mean? What's the problem? So someone could have thought that the problem is that the fact that his machine is running, it detracts from the spirit, from the aura of Shabbos. But says the Ogur that the real reason, the problem of it making noise, is like the Sefer HaTruma explains, because people are going to say, Rechayim shal ploini toichenim b'shabbos. People are going to wonder, what is so-and-so's millstone doing running on Shabbos? The Sviri, people are going to think that b'shabbos nosan b'hem chitim. People are going to think that the person must have put the wheat in and turned the machine on Shabbos. So basically, so Rav Gidon, this is what you were saying before. Says the Ogur that the reason why Rabbah forbids Hashmoas Kol is because it attracts attention and it detracts from the spirit of Shabbos. Why? How does it detract from Shabbos? Because it's going to cause a Maris Ayin. Like you said before, Rav Gidon, the reason is because it's going to attract attention and people are going to start wondering, did this person turn his millstone on Shabbos? So now the Ogur concludes, if that's the problem of the noise, in Cain, time is zeh loishaycha klal gavizug hamakashkish. This reason doesn't exist by the alarm clock, by the grandfather clock. Shehakol yoidim, because everyone knows, shiragilim lasaknin b'kol yoim al yoim shalachro. Everybody knows that the grandfather clock, the primitive, the antique grandfather clocks, had to be set up 24 hours in advance. If you want the grandfather clock to chime today, it had to have been set up and arranged from before Shabbos, from yesterday. Uba osu hayom shehu mekashkesh, if it's chiming all Shabbos afternoon, ein mesakna noisei klal. They didn't fix it today, they fixed it yesterday. V'chein yesh lifsei kalacha lemaisa, v'chein amedvar. And says the Ogur, that's how we can paskin, and that's the minhag. So we learn a lot of things from this Ogur, from the Sefer HaOgur. Number one, we learn from the Sefer HaOgur that he paskins like the Tosfos, that we do paskin, that there's a problem of Hashmoas Kol. That's number one. Number two, we also learn from the Ogur that when Rashi says that the problem is that the machine makes noise, when he says the problem is that the machine makes noise, what is that problem? What is the problem that the machine makes noise? The problem is, like you said, Rav Gidon, it attracts attention and it creates a Maris Ayin. So therefore, says the Ogur, and here's the third thing that we learned from the Sefer Ogur, that if that reason doesn't apply, if the noise that it's making today does not suggest that it was turned on today, it's clear that it was turned on yesterday because that's the derech, then it would be permitted. So now, Rav Gidon, coming back to your Shiloh, you were asking, what about Maris Ayin? So I think the pshat's like this. Under normal circumstances, this is what Rabbah holds. Under normal circumstances, there wouldn't be grounds for Maris Ayin. Because whenever there's a choice, whenever a prohibition could have been done, or a prohibition might not have been done. So we have a din to be dam lekaf skos, and there's no Maris Ayin. The only time there's Maris Ayin is if it looks as if a prohibition was done. When you see somebody's millstone running through Shabbos, there's no indication he turned it on Shabbos. Under normal conventional reasons, it would not be Maris Ayin because everybody should just assume it was turned on before. It could have just as easily have been turned on before. Rabbah comes along and says that there's a prohibition of Hashmoas Kol. Hashmoas Kol means that it's making a lot of noise and it's attracting attention. So that's Rabbah's reason. Because it's attracting a lot of attention, that's why there's a more sensitive Maris Ayin. The reason why the bar is raised over here is because it's attracting a lot of attention. If it wouldn't make noise, if it wouldn't attract attention, then it would not fall under the normal prohibition of Maris Ayin, because just as easily to turn it on Shabbos, he could have turned it on before Shabbos. And therefore, there's no Maris Ayin. But because it attracts attention, that's what creates the new sensitivity of the Maris Ayin. Now, the Chazon Yecheskel, this was written, a sefer written by Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky says the following. He speaks this out very clearly. He says like this, Yesh Lachkor, it's like a yeshiva shechakir, it's like a yeshiva, a brisker chakir. Yesh Lachkor, he says, we have to research this. Rashi says that Hashmoas Kol creates a disgrace, it detracts from the sanctity of the Shabbos. So says Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky in his Sefer Chazal Yecheskel. Yesh lachko, we have a question. Im hazilusehi hashmoas akol atzma. Is it the very fact that it makes noise? Is that itself an end unto itself? The fact that it makes noise is itself the problem? Oy zilusehi kiven da'av shemilsa, or perhaps the zilusa, the what degrades the Shabbos, what detracts from the Shabbos is the noise. Yesh kan zilzel bedine Shabbos. Maybe Rashi means that the zilzel, it detracts from the spirit of Shabbos because it detracts from the halacha of Shabbos. It creates a laxity. Why? Because since it makes noise and attracts attention, it's going to cause more people to wonder, maybe he turned the machine on Shabbos. And then Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky brings the heter of the ogre, that you're allowed to have your grandfather clock chiming on Shabbos because it everyone knows it was set up from before. And so says the Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky, exactly how we concluded, haloi muchach mihacha, you see from the psak, the ruling of the ogur, that the zilusa, he sheyesh kan, what detracts from Shabbos? The zilzel b'Shabbos, sheyemru sheb'Shabbos chisla malacha, the problem is not the noise itself. The problem is that it's going to cause people to wonder, maybe he turned his millstone on Shabbos. The zilusa is the maris ayin. So again, I think the pshat is, like I said before, that under normal circumstances, this would not qualify for the prohibition of maris ayin, because just as easily I could have turned it on from before Shabbos. But because it's making noise, because it's av shemilsa, because it's a tumult, because it's attracting attention, that's what causes people to wonder, and that's what detracts from the Shabbos. Ulefizeh ein hashmoas kol asura. So says Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky, the same conclusion we're making ourselves, that the noise-making problem is only on something that's usher to do on Shabbos. So it's important to understand the nature of the Isser HaShmoas Kol. It's not that you can't have something operating on Shabbos that makes noise. The grandfather clock makes noise. If the problem would be that you can't have things making noise on Shabbos, then the grandfather clock would be prohibited as well. That's not the problem. The problem is that the noise attracts attention, and it's going to lead people to think, to wonder, maybe he's turned it on Shabbos. So it's a heightened sensitivity, so to speak, to Maris Ayin. That's the Geder of HaShmoas Kol. So Rabbi Gidon, that's why it's possible to disagree with this. That's why Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, no, there's no such heightened sensitivity. There's no such Maris Ayin here. The Brisa is according to Beis Shammai. There's no such prohibition. Since it's not prohibited under regular Maris Ayin, so the fact that it makes noise doesn't make a difference. It's not Mala Umarib. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Rabbi Yosef, that there's nothing wrong with having the machine operating on Shabbos, but the Ramah is choishish for the psak of the Tosfos and the Rosh, and that the extra noise attracts more attention of the Maris Ayin. There's a famous Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says in Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalid, that word should be Simen, Ayin, Hamadas Sha'on Ma'orer. So a grandfather clock is something that you set up from before. You set it up the day before. What about an alarm clock? Now, I think that Rav Moshe's tshuva is talking about a mechanical alarm clock, the kind of alarm clock that will only ring once, and once it rings, then that's it. You have to reset it again. I think he's talking about the primitive. He's talking about before the days of cell phone. I use my cell phone as my alarm clock. He's talking about before the days of cell phone. He's talking about the mechanical alarm clock. So Rav Moshe Feinstein had an interesting psak, and besides the actual psak, we also learned some interesting things as well. Says Rav Moshe that a sha'on ma'orer, an alarm clock, the Erev Shabbos, you want to set it up before Shabbos, she'yitzaltzel the Shabbos, that it should ring or buzz on Shabbos. So says Rav Moshe, hinei, im hu kol kozeh, if the volume of the alarm clock is such, she'loi nishma ela b'chedroi, that it'll only be heard in your private bedroom, she'hu la'atzmo, ein b'ze iser. So Rav Moshe feels there's no prohibition. Abul in nishma gam chutz bechedro, but if you can hear it outside, shenishma laharbe halana mebeso, other people sleeping in the house would hear your alarm clock. You know, sometimes you walk by the door of the bedroom and you can hear the alarm clock ringing. When my son's alarm clock, my son is home now from yeshiva the past 2.5 months, so when his alarm clock goes off, I can hear it in the room, in the next room. Sometimes the alarm clock is loud enough that you can hear it even in the next room. So Rav Moshe says, if you can hear it in the next room, that's already subject to Hashmoas Kol. But if it's something that you can only hear in your own room, so Rav Moshe decided that that's not yet, it doesn't yet bring, it doesn't yet breach the prohibition of Hashmoasko. That's what Rav Moshe says. And Koshchein if it's nishma lachutz, certainly if it's something that operates, that you can hear it outside, it will be aser mitzad zeres Hashmoasko. It will be forbidden because of this gzera. Again, according to the Ramah, who passes like Rabbah, that there's a prohibition of Hashmoasko, of the putting of the wheat into the water wheel. So I looked up the tshuva there. So the tshuva says something very interesting. He says, because, I quoted it here, how do I know that an alarm clock qualifies? After all, the example of the Gemara was a water wheel that's grinding the wheat, some kind of millstone that's operated by the water. So that's probably making a huge amount of noise. How do I know, says Rav Moshe, that an alarm clock is on par with the millstone? So Rav Moshe says, because you see from the Ogur that a grandfather clock would have been prohibited under Hashmoah's call. A grandfather clock does not wake up the whole city. It's not like a water wheel, a millstone that's grinding away outside in front of everybody. It's something that's in your house and you hear it in the next room. So Rav Moshe says, I'm getting my barometer from the Ogur that anything which is as loud as a grandfather clock would fall under the prohibition of Hashmoah's Kol, if not for the fact that the derech was to set the grandfather clock up the day before and there's no Maris Ayin. But if it wouldn't be for that, it would be prohibited. So concludes Rav Moshe that an alarm clock where the derech is to the last line of paragraph tests, that it's imkein hu kimefurish. So it's as if the Ogur explicitly said that the hamadas hasha'on, that the alarm clock, which is set up lahokitz baboker to wake you up the next morning, that's something that was done in the weekday every night before you go to sleep. You don't normally set it up hours before. You don't normally set it up before Shabbat. You know, we don't want to do it on Shabbat, so we set it up before Shabbat. But during the week, it's set up right before you go to sleep. So if you're going to hear the sound outside, even in the house itself, in the other rooms, it should be like the grandfather clock that would be prohibited if not for the fact that the grandfather clock was commonly set up a day in advance. But the alarm clock, which is set up the night before you wake up, usually, then it would be forbidden. So Rav Moshe Paskin, that in the old days, when you had these mechanical alarm clocks that were set up every day, it didn't just run electronically from day to day with the same. You know, nowadays you have your clocks, you can have 10 different alarms. Each day of the week has some other alarm. It's all electronic, and you never have to think about it again. You just set your alarm, and it'll ring every day at the right time. A mechanical alarm clock, every day you'd have to spring and lock it in the night before. So Rav Moshe felt that it would be forbidden. Now, the Shmira Shabbos Kahalacha, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, he permitted it. And in the Sefer Oz Nidbaru, so they say the minig is to be makel regarding an alarm clock. I would think, again, as I keep on alluding, I think that nowadays our alarm clocks that are set up way in advance, there's no room for suspicion that you bedafka set it up the night before. It should be just as common to set it up as a grandfather clock in the old days, and the alarm clocks today would be allowed to be running, to have them ring on Shabbos morning. If you can lower the volume that it's not heard outside the room, then even Rav Moshe would agree, even the old alarm clocks would be permitted. But certainly if you can lower the volume, it would be permitted. But nowadays our electronic alarm clocks could be set up way in advance, so we could follow the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman and the opinion of the Oz Nidbaru of Rav Ovadia Yosef. Now, coming back to what we said before, the Poiskim say that based on the Ramaz Psak, again, the Shulchan Aruch would permit it, but a washing machine or Kvisas Kalim, a dishwasher with a Shabbos clock, since it makes noise, it would be forbidden, right? Now, I don't think you would even have Rav Moshe's heter that you don't hear it in the next room. Rav Moshe says if you don't hear it in the next room, the noise is not loud enough to qualify for Hashmoah's Kol. But I think that Rav Moshe only was saying that regarding an alarm clock because it's in a private room. But your dishwasher, which is in the common room, in the main room of the house, the kitchen, the dining room, if you can hear it over there, it would fall under Hashmoah's Kol, and most poskim say that it's Asa. Rav Ovadia Yosef had an example that there was once a group of soldiers and the soldier came home. He's on leave for Shabbos, a religious soldier. He came home right before Shabbos. He had his whole sack of laundry, and he has to leave right away after Shabbos to get back to his camp. So Rav Avadia Yosef Paskin, that even for the Ashkenazim, they would be allowed to put the load in right before Shabbos and have it running over Shabbos, because that would be a hefsid. Otherwise, he'd have no way of washing his clothes. But under normal circumstances, a dishwasher or a washing machine or something of that nature would be forbidden to have it running on Shabbos, even from before Shabbos, and certainly not with a Shabbos cloth. Now, the poiskim dan in Yud Beis, that an air conditioner, what about an air conditioner? How are we allowed to have our central air, you know, when it fires up, you hear the boom, or let's say a unit running on a Shabbos clock, how are you allowed to have it? It makes noise, and you hear it in another room, or it's in the main room of the house. How are you allowed to have an air conditioning running on Shabbos? Halay oisa rash, it makes noise. So there are two possible reasons why the oil is makel. Number one, we might also apply the svara of the ogre. Just like the ogre permitted the grandfather clock, an air conditioner is commonly set up before. It's the derech that it's set up before. You don't usually adjust it. Sometimes you do, but you don't usually adjust the air conditioner as it's going. The air conditioner is usually set up before on a thermostat. So therefore, you don't even have the heightened sense of Maris Ayin. The fact that people can tell that the air conditioner is running, it doesn't attract attention and cause people to wonder if you turn it on Shabbos, because people are already accustomed to the fact that it was set up in advance. Again, the whole prohibition of making noise is not the fact that it's making noise in the here and the now. The problem is that it attracts attention and causes people to suspect that it was set up on Shabbos. But an air conditioner is common enough that it was set up before. Now, I didn't write it in the Hebrew, but in the English, I added an additional svara at the end of the English. So I added the idea that even if you say that it is common to adjust the air conditioner, perhaps the reason is that because we're an istinus, because we're hot, and we need the air conditioner to be running, so perhaps the Ramah himself would agree that it's like a hefsid, it's like it causes a loss, it's like unbearable for people, and therefore we can rely on the Shulchan Aruch's opinion. So I came up with two possible reasons why an air conditioner would be permitted to have it set before and running on Shabbos, even though it's making noise. Because number one, the use of the air conditioner is common enough that it's based on the thermostat and it was set up before. So the fact that it's making noise and attracts attention does not cause people to think that you set it up on Shabbos. And number two, since we have a machoikis, and because the Shulchan Aruch permits it, so it would be enough of a tzairet, it would be enough of a need, that even the Ashkenazim would be permitted to rely on the Shita of the Machaber, of the Shita of the Rambam, that there's no Issaresh Moaz Kol. The whole prohibition was only because of Shvisas Kalim, which is something that we don't paskin, the way the Rambam concludes, and therefore we'd be able to be Semich on that. So that's basically the raid, that's basically the sikum, the shitas and the evolving of this halacha of Hashmoaz Kol. Okay, Gvaldik, any comments? Anybody want to add anything?
I just had a question.
Sure.
I would like to, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
The new dishwashers,
right,
as opposed to the old ones.
Right.
You can all, yesterday I asked my wife, is the dishwasher on? We paid a lot of money for it, and it's very, very quiet. Could you load that up just before Shabbos and turn it on, so if you have 20 people coming for lunch?
Right. So apparently,
my wife can't open it. The lights go on. But theoretically,
based on this, if it doesn't make any noise and it's not nicker that it's on, then it would be permitted because you set it up before. Just we always have to remind ourselves that Rav Moshe was against introducing anything new with the Shabbos clocks and the timers, because Rav Moshe held that the whole thing was a zilus of Shabbos. But so we always have to realize that we always have a sensitivity here of not taking away too much from Shabbos and turning it into a weekday. But technically, based on this idea of a Shmoaz Kol, as long as it doesn't make noise, it should be permitted to have it running with the timer. As long as you're relying on the poiskim who permit timers for other things. Reb Ezra, you want to say something?
Yeah, the first instance where the Rosh Hashanah mentioned the idea of a hefsid and you talked about a shirt that's being stained.
Yeah.
I saw that as more of a monetary loss.
Yeah.
As opposed to
the air conditioner.
The other case, the inconvenience to the soldier who has to leave for base at Motzi Shabbos.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously it's not a chana for chol because you're putting it in before Shabbos.
That's right.
That hefsted is more, it's inconvenient.
Right. So you're saying, in other words, it's not intuitive to make that extension that Rav Avadi Yosef made, right? Rav Avadi Yosef made this extension that just like hefsted is mutter, so any tzerech gadol is mutter. If you look in the Rav Avadi Yosef's expression, when he quotes it, when he articulates the opinions, so he already is l'shitasai because he says, I wrote this in item vav in the notes, the Chavadah says that for Svardim it's mutter straight away like the Shulchan Aruch, and for Achenu Ashkenazim, they're noyeh kedas ramol hachmir ela im kein yesh tzerech bedavar. Right? So Rav Avadi Yosef is consistent that he takes the Ramah's ruling of hefsid, he extends it to any tzerech. I guess he holds that any significant need is not gora than a hefsid. You know what's the problem of a hefsid? The fact that you're going to lose money creates a need. It creates a justification. So he extends that to any great need would be just as valuable. You know, the loss of time or the loss of wearing clean clothes and having to go another week with dirty clothes, that would be just as much as a hefsid. It's basically about a shikl. It's basically just assessing the situation. Is there a justification to rely on the other opinion for the Ashkenazim?
Rabbi Burr, I have three questions.
Yes. Sure.
Number one, why doesn't the Ramah pass like Rabbeinu Tam?
I'm sorry?
Number two,
What was the first one?
The Ramah?
Yeah.
Asking like Rabbeinu Tam.
So the Ramah says, let's do each question one at a time. Because the Ramah says, because the Rush and the Tosfos and the Smag and the Sefer HaTrumis and the Sefer HaMitzvos HaKtanis and all paskin like Rabbah, right? So he held that that's Machriya. I think that the Ramah and the Beis Yosef, they have a different style of psak. The Beis Yosef, he also brought all that whole list of shitas. But basically the Beis Yosef bases his opinion on the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. So since the Rambam paskins you're allowed to, and the Rif is not Machriya, so he throws Rabbeinu Tam in as like a sniff, he paskins that it's mutter. But the Ramah always extends it to other poiskim, like the Smag, and the Beis Yosef brought those poiskim also, but the Beis Yosef's Mahalach was to go primarily with the Rambam for the Sfardim. But the Ramah paskins like all this other slew of Achray, of Rishayim. So basically the answer is he rejects the Rabbeinu Tam because everybody else does. The Smag, the Smach, the Sefer Trumas, the Gois Maimonis, and the Rush and the Tosfos, they all reject Rabbeinu Tam.
Gotcha. Second question. If the grandfather clock was created right at the time of the Ogre was writing it, would he paskin differently?
Oh, because it wasn't common? See, I was wondering myself, because the grandfather clock is a little bit different than what everybody's extending it to. The grandfather clock, it had to be set up in advance, right? So I think that it will be self-evident. You don't have the chash that people are going to think that you turned it on Shabbos because
it was usually wound once a week.
That's right.
And
so the very
nature you have to wait.
So the very nature of the grandfather clock, it required you to do it in advance. So it was self-evident. It wasn't
not required. It wasn't but because that was the derech.
It wasn't because people started doing it that way. It's because that's inherently how the item is used, that it's done in advance. So I think that what a tremendous... Go ahead.
Relate to a modern state of Israel.
What do you mean by that? Oh, you mean, is it Ashkenaz or Sfar, do you want to know?
In terms of government, in terms of generators, electricity,
oh,
machines operating on Shabbos.
So,
I mean, what you spoke of basically is privately.
Yeah. So the water wheel or the millstone was done publicly. It was done outside, you know, in the village. I don't think that the issue here is whether it's public or private. Fakir, Rav Moshe took it as a chiddush from the Ogur that he applied the grandfather clock to the millstone because the millstone was public, making a lot of noise, and the grandfather clock is relatively private in the person's house. Right? Rav Moshe really was following the lead of the Ogur. So I think primarily the issue was something public. So I would say a generator, So again, the purpose of the generator was because they don't want to use the electricity that's being produced by the Yidden on Shabbos. So the generator, by its very nature, is indicating that it was set up before. That's the purpose of the generator. If you didn't want to set the generator up before, then you might as well rely on the regular electricity that's provided by the city. Why would you have a generator? So I think that the generator itself, the message of the generator is that it was set up from before Shabbos. So I think that would be like the grandfather clock, or like the air conditioner, or like the other examples that we gave over here.
Okay. Rabbi Berr?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's, I think, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein making the difference between microphone and hearing aid.
Oh, very good.
You give the answer to use hearing aid because it's private, and microphone not to use because it's public.
I hear. But that might not be that might be an issue of Hashmos Kol, but it might be like another issue of Zilusa. Rav Moshe, when all of these electric and electronic and electric items were becoming more and more popular, Rav Moshe sort of was very against introducing new things. We still have that sensitivity today with Poiskim. We don't want to introduce new things. So he was very protective of the Shabbos. So whenever we talk about implementing new things,
100 years after the yogurt.
So whenever we talk about implementing new things, so we always have to just bear in mind the concept of Zilus.
I'm trying to clock.
We have a historical piece of information here, thanks to Dev Simons, which is the ogre passed away in 1493, and the grandfather clock wasn't invented until the 1600s.
So this must have been.
Yeah, but
I would say there were
time clocks earlier in Italy.
I mean, the ogre is talking about some kind of clock. It was my word, grandfather clock. So I didn't, you know, maybe.
We obviously have a
Italy in the 1400s, they had communal clocks that were wound every week.
That was my expression. That was my grandfather clock was my expression. If it was called something else back then, yeah. But the ogre talks about a clock that's based on the Mishkolis. Okay. Gevaldik, everybody.
Very good.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Shkoyach. Thank you. Thank you.
Yasha Koyach. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.
Yes, stay safe. Yasha Koyach.
Thank you.
Rabbi Rosfeld.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, when I'd asked where the phrase Makom Shenago, the Rosh Kol mentioned the Mar Mai Katan, so I guess Shabbos is another example of that principle, Makom Shenahagu.
Makom Shenahagu, yeah. Well, this is the Poiskim, the Poiskim's expression. The
Beis
Yosef and Ramah, yeah. But there's a Mishnah in Pesachim, Makom Shenahagu.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Shekoyach.
Learned something.
Yeah, Shekoyach. Thank you, everybody. Okay, good night.
Shkoyach.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.